Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, December 4th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is Love in the Midst of Hate. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12.
And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, so the wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And the New Testament is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare a way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Join me in a word of prayer. God, as we open these scriptures, we pray you would help us open our hearts and indeed bring us your wisdom from on high. Change our hearts, prepare our hearts, that we might be that pathway on which you walk in light. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many of you listen to This American Life? Any of This American Life fans? Wow! Okay, This American Life is a radio show, and now they podcast. And every week there is a theme and there are stories. There was an episode January a year ago that was titled, If You Don't Have Anything to Say, Then Say It in All Caps. Ira Glass, who is the host of this, tried to find something that everybody could agree on. And he found this graphic. There it is. It's a graphic that somebody, you know, is on the internet. It's an optical illusion. It's created by a professor at MIT who studies vision and the brain. So there are these gray boxes, but one of them is surrounded by lighter stuff, so it looks darker. And the other gray box is surrounded by darker stuff, so it looks lighter. But the whole point of this thing is it's an optical illusion. The square A and the square B are the exact same shade color of gray. They don't look that way, do they? No. Now, that's just a fact. But of course, the graphic's on the internet, and there's the comment section below the picture. And you might think, what could you possibly comment on? But some of you have been on the internet. And people, when they write in their comments, they're not always very polite about it. So one person writes in, what a load of beep, those are different colors. And another writes, not the same beep shade. And says a third, not convinced. And then people start in with advice. They're like super nice about it at first, but they're trying to be helpful. So they tell the doubters, okay, take here's the other slide. Like, look, if you take the same square, the same thing of gray, and you trace it down, you can see they're the same color, right? And then other people suggested, okay, you can make that go away, but several people suggested you could open up that file on Photoshop, you can get out your little tool and find out it's the exact same dropper tool to RGB the colors, right? But even after all of that, somebody still writes in the comment section on the bottom, the second square looks brighter to me. And then the comment below that says, it's definitely brighter than you. And then people start calling each other stupid, which of course leads exactly to those big, overarching, sweeping statements that show up in comment sections everywhere. Finally ending with this quote, if after reading this thread, you refuse to actually test it and choose to stick with your dogmatic belief, then you are everything that is wrong with America. You are everything over a picture on the internet. You know, the anonymity of internet comments and this rise, they call it trolling when you go attacking each other, is demonstrating our collective human inability to hold decent and courteous conversations. We have gotten very poor at that. And perhaps the events and the election over the last fall has highlighted that we are now increasingly in what scholars are calling an echo chamber. So what an echo chamber is it's, so users belonging to a different community tend not to interact and tended only to be connected with people who are like-minded. And so then you get on Facebook these closed interacting communities. And there's sort of an ongoing confirmation bias. Oh, all of my friends are talking about this, therefore it must be true. And it tends to separate us into our favorite stories, into more and more polarized groups that then resist information that doesn't conform to the echo chamber that we have gotten ourselves into. Researchers describe this as a sort of cognitive inoculation. And in the end, it develops an us versus them mentality, and it depersonalizes the alternate view. This week's sermon title was Love in the Midst of Hate. So it got me thinking, where where does hate come from? No one really wants to say, I'm raising up a hateful child, and I'm so proud of them. Yet we still see so much hate and so much of this depersonalization. So I got two quotes. One is from Yoda, the very wise green Jedi. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And probably a more reliable source, although I like Yoda, Martin Luther King Jr. said this in 1958, men often hate each other because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they can't communicate. They cannot communicate because they are separated. And so Isaiah's vision of a wolf that's going to lie down with a lamb, and a leopard that lies down with a kid, and a calf and a lion and a fatling together, really is an opposite message to this echo chamber that we've gotten ourselves into. I would contest then that love in the midst of hate looks like connecting and reconnecting across boundaries, loving our enemies, loving maybe even those who disagree with you. This isn't a sentimental, lovey-dovey, oh, I feel so loving today kind of love. This is closer to that powerful love, the kind of love that Jesus is able to show, the love that is powerful enough to overpower hate. This kind of love is the love that takes courage, because if you embrace this 100%, then your response to the anger and the violence can only be to be loving back. And that takes great spiritual and mental and emotional strength to be able to love back somebody who's throwing hate at you. This kind of love is not just the love that stays in your families and your friendly circles. For this kind of love seeks friendship with enemies. Friendship and understanding of enemies. To treat those who you feel like are on the other side like they're a human being. So that you're not shaming or humiliating them, but you're trying to connect and reconcile with us and with one another. This kind of love in the midst of hate is about defeating injustice. Not to defeat other people, but to defeat the things that are wrong between people. Because even when we look at violence across systems and violence and people in power and people who are not in power, really, both sides are being hurt. Both the perpetrator and the victim. Really, we're all victims of that violence. And this is the kind of love that really recognizes that God is on everybody's side. That despite all of our rhetoric of us versus them and God's on our side, the kind of love that Jesus is asking that will break through the hate is never for one party or another. It's for all. This is the kind of love and vision that Isaiah is putting out there. But gosh, we're pretty darn far from that these days. And that's our Advent call. Our Advent call is to recognize how far away we are from the way that God would want the world to be. But it also means that those of us who long for that kind of world would be called to go out of our way to prepare the way for the Lord. So if love is about connecting, One of the people who I found articulated this really well was is the Dean of International Programs at Pepperdine University. So when he is trying to persuade students about international studies and traveling abroad, he writes this: "In my experience, there are two things necessary to combat hatred, fear, and misunderstanding between people. One, we must cross physical boundaries in order to break down social boundaries." Physical boundaries. "And two, we must avoid the tendency to associate with like-minded groups and start interacting with people who are different." So when Isaiah says that the lion is going to lie down with the lamb, that image has them very close next to each other, right? This is not one's going to observe the other or one's going to teach the other. They're going to be next to each other. My friend whose son is in band said they do social events with the kids who are in band. And the band director says, "It's just good for them to be in the room and breathe the same air. And by having those interactions, they will play better together." Really, all the time we are breathing the same air, but so often we don't act like it. But we don't have the same sort of formal separation or segregation, but the informal separations and segregations remain. I'm just as guilty of this as you are. I tend to hang out with middle class, fairly educated folks. I hang out with lots of people who are parents of children who are around 10 years old. That's who I run into. Church and community is where I start interacting with people who are in their 90s, whose lives look really different than mine. But even then, this church isn't even a slice of what our larger community is, where we're called to cross those boundaries. I was struck by our ministry with the homeless, and some of you I know work in San Francisco, and when homeless people say, "Here's what's helpful to me," it's more than just the food or the handout or the dollar. These are the kind of things they said. "The best way to help me, yeah, I got free food with day-old bread and free fruit and sandwiches and free clothes, and I was grateful for it. But what I remember most are the people who saw past the mental illness, past the skittish, scared girl, and into the human being underneath." There's another man who was formerly homeless who now tries to be compassionate. And he has disposable razors and shaving cream, but the best and most truly invaluable thing he does for homeless people he meets is he stops and he has a real conversation with them. He listens and shares stories and treats them with respect and dignity. He says it's not the money that people need, it's the normalcy. So I wonder what it would look like for you to go out of your way to prepare a way for some human being this week. Maybe it is somebody who's homeless, who just gets walked by all the time. But it may not be. It may be creating a human connection where there hasn't been one before. I started saying hello to the crossing guard at Sadie's school and asked his name. 3 weeks later, I forgot his name. But I asked his name again. I said, wait, your name was Matt. He's like, "No, it's Alex." I'm like, "Darn it." "Hi, Alex. Sorry for forgetting your name." He said, "That's okay. You're one of the few people who has ever asked." This man helps hundreds of people cross the street from 3 to 3:30. I wish more people knew his name. So there might be somebody in your world, somebody maybe you walk by on a regular basis, Maybe it's just the person who checks you out at the grocery store or hands you a cup of coffee. Because if we're going to start breaking down these walls, it's going to start in really, really small ways. But it also is going to start when it's not just the people that we consider our in crowd anymore. So go forth in love, spreading that light of Christ into the dark corners of our world. One human connection to another. And then there will be love in the midst of hate.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.